Some progress has been made in the challenge to bring more than 25,000 stranded Australians home from overseas. The Prime Minister said this morning that the states have agreed to increase their quarantine caps to 6,000 a week, starting from next Friday.
And we've increased the support to our Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade quite considerably to help people in those areas. But we have made the decision to increase the number of people who can come back into Australia, about another 2,000 every single week. The Deputy Prime Minister has written to the Premiers about that. That'll come into effect on Friday week.
Prime Minister speaking a short time ago on Channel 7. Meanwhile, Qantas is stepping up its push to take to the skies again. It's urging its grounded passengers to show their support for a safe reopening of the borders by Christmas. And to drive home this point, the airline's organising a 7-hour scenic flight over some of Australia's most iconic landmarks. No passports, no borders, no quarantining, because you don't get off the plane. Alan Joyce is Qantas CEO. Alan Joyce, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Brian. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Qantas has these full-page ads this morning in the papers urging the travelling public to get behind the campaign to reopen the domestic borders, most of which remain closed on health grounds. Aren't the chief health officers better placed to decide when to open up rather than an airline?
Yeah, well, we're saying that what we're after is really a common medically-based definition of hotspots and to use that when borders should open and when borders should close. What doesn't make sense to us is that we have states with low cases or no cases that are closed to states with low or no cases, and we have different standards being applied. We've the Northern Territory now opening to New South Wales, South Australia now opening to ACTU, but yet Queensland and Western Australia are close to those states. So it's having this common set of medically based information that allows us to apply it commonly across the board. And, you know, the whole campaign on this is really about getting that in place. There should be a standard here. New South Wales has shown that we can keep things open with precautions and still keep the virus under control. Our petition so far, Fran, has gotten 17,000 signatures just for our employees. We are going to send it to millions of our frequent flyers, and some of our media partners have donated that space for us in the major newspapers, in the 9 newspapers and in News Corp newspapers. And what got me with the 17,000 I've already signed there is some of the heartbreaking stories that they've given us of grandparents that haven't seen grandkids for months, and people that have had relationships breaking up. There's a human cost to this. And everybody agrees that the border, like with Victoria, should have been closed. It was right to do. But how do we get this standard approach across the board and open up safely is what we're after. And that should
be... OK, but that's exactly what the Prime Minister is trying to sort out with the states. I mean, that's National Cabinet was going to discuss it tomorrow. It's a little unclear now. That may have been delayed a little, that discussion. But the governments of the country are trying to work that out. Do they really need Qantas putting their oar in? Because let's face it, you're all about bums on seats. You want the state borders open so you can fly people between them. It's a business model, yeah?
So, yeah, and I'm also concerned about, you know, these personal stories that are out there. We're also concerned about the million jobs that are dependent on it in tourism. We also want to do this safely. We don't want to go backward in any state. But there's also, it's very clear that, you know, politics is getting into this. And that I think what we want to show is that there are a lot of people asking for this to be sorted. And when you do get a campaign like this working, it does focus people's attention. It does let them look at this and say that they need to come up with solutions. Because at the moment, the solutions, we've been talking about this for weeks and months. We haven't got to a clear solution. If anything, we've got disparities increasing between how the states are approaching it.
Yeah, we've also got disparities over what's the definition of a hotspot. There was one recommended yesterday, but that seems to have off the table now, where a defined COVID-free zone is no locally acquired cases that pose a risk to the community in the previous 28 days. That's essentially Queensland's position. I'm not sure that that's the hotspot definition. Where would you set the benchmark? Have you had a look at much of this?
Well, as you said,
you have to leave that to the experts.
Yeah, We are. And, you know, I would say it'd be the same thing. I've got 9 different airlines at the Qantas Group. I've got 9 different head of safeties. And they can come to an agreement about what is safe and what isn't safe. I leave it to them to decide that. And we have a common practice across all of the different airlines in the group. And what gets me a bit frantic, you know, I'm from Ireland originally, is that in Europe, they have the borders open. They've agreed, you know, in Ireland's case, they've got 14 countries that are classified as green countries, where they defined what this hotspot is. I mean, the Europeans have been fighting each other for thousands of years and have managed to agree definitions of how to keep the borders open.
Yeah, but if we cast our eyes to Europe at the moment, we also see a second wave, if not a third wave, of infections. You know, that it's proving very difficult to open the borders safely. And that's writ large in France at the moment, in Spain at the moment.
The issue that we have here is that we have got hugely low level of it with areas that have had no cases, that are close to the areas with no cases. So you are in a completely different environment and you still can't agree for those borders to be open. So we have done a fantastic job here, but we have to figure out how we open these borders safely, and that has to be possible to do it.
There are still more than, speaking of borders, let's look at international borders. There are still more than 25,000 Australians stuck overseas due to COVID-19 because of the quarantine restrictions, which caps the number of arrivals. It has been at 4,000 a week. The Prime Minister, as we heard, has just announced that cap will be lifted to 6,000 from next Friday. Is that enough to entice the national carrier to enter this market again and start help to bring Australians home?
Well, as you know, Fran, we haven't flown internationally since early June. And the issue for us is that we're burning $40 million in cash a week at the moment. We can't put any services on unless we can cover the cash costs, because that's all about the survival of Qantas now. And some of the airlines that are flying into Australia are sponsored by the governments, and that's fair enough. Singapore Airlines got $16 billion from their government. Qatar is government-owned. But with the caps in place today, you can carry potentially only 50 people on each flight. The economics do not work, and there will be one direction.
Would an increased cap change the economics enough for you, this extra 2,000 a week?
Not those, but we have been talking, not that level, but we have been talking to the government about whether we can put special Qantas flights on to destinations and offer reasonable airfares. The government at the moment, as you know, Fran, sponsors a regional network and a domestic network. If the economics are not covered by the cost of the airfares, the government subsidises to keep those regional and domestic destinations opening. Yeah. We're saying let's do the same thing internationally, and then you don't get people that are gouged with high airfares. And I can understand why.
Can I just ask you, sorry, just to clarify what you've said there, do you say you're speaking to the government about, in effectively, the government subsidising or even commissioning Qantas flights? People still charge, still pay a regular airfare home, but the shortfall, the government picks up. Is that how it would be?
Exactly. And we did 100 flights like that pre-June to get a load of Australians home under that model. And we are talking to the government. And we have the aircraft, we have the people. All we need is to cover the cost of the fuel, to cover the cost of the salaries of the pilots and the cabin crew and the airport costs. And then we will do that. Sorry, Fran, I have a fire test going on in the background. I hope it's not disturbing it.
That's okay. But so if the government, is the government saying yes to that? Do you think that's a likely scenario, and how quickly?
We're still in dialogue with them, and we're hoping that we can get some progress with the government on that.
Okay. Few Australians are being allowed to leave the country at the moment. Has Qantas sought legal advice on the lawfulness of the government restricting the movement of people like this outbound and inbound? What's your legal team? Have they had a look at that?
We have had a look around, and our view is that the government are entitled to manage the international borders the way they are, and they can put those restrictions on it. And our issues have been really focused on the domestic borders, Fran, because as far as we're concerned, we can understand why there are restrictions on the international borders. We want to get those Aussies that want to get home back here. We need to do that as fast as possible. We'd like to do it before Christmas, and we're willing to help to get them back.
How much money would the government have to pay you to do it? How much would that cost the government?
It's just, as we said, it would be just the cost of those flights. We know it's been expensive. Those 100 flights that we did before were expensive for the government, but it is, I think, the fastest way of getting Australians home. We're available. We have the aircraft. We have the people to do it, and we're keen to put that on.
Just one final question before there's another fire drill. You've been floating the possibility of relocating Qantas headquarters from Sydney. You've been speaking to premiers, as we understand. Yesterday, the Trade and Tourism Minister, Simon Birmingham, described it as shameless, quote, corporate welfare seeking and a blatant attempt to extract taxpayer dollars from the states and the territories. Basically, his point is at a time when there's probably a better use for those taxpayer dollars from the states and territories. What's your response to that comment from the minister?
Well, when I read the comments, I rang Simon Birmingham and I had a positive, a productive conversation with him. The minister said to me that his comments were misunderstood and not criticism of Qantas, but rather directed at the states and territories for not starting a bidding war, especially those states that have the borders closed. And can I say, what I said to Simon was that of all the airlines around the globe, Qantas is one that isn't getting corporate welfare. You know, the German airline got $9 billion from their government. Singapore,
well, there was $700 million on the table early on, wasn't there?
Yeah, but most of that has gone in JobKeeper to our employees. And that $700 million of that package, I think we've only gotten around $100 million of that to offset the cost of some of the flights that we've been operating. So there's been very little money that have been given to Qantas. And that's right, because it's economy-wide and it's across the board. And JobKeeper, I think, is the right way of doing it because it gets to our employees. And Qantas is self-helping. We've raised $5 billion nearly of debt and equity. We've also had to make, unfortunately, between 6,000 and 8,500 people redundant. I've seen people leave this organization that I've worked with it for 40 years, that I've worked with for 20 years. It's heartbreaking because it's nothing to do with the people. It's nothing to do with the company because the company was thriving before that. And it is not about corporate welfare. We're trying to save all costs that we have, including property costs. And we're saying we've got Jetstar head office in Melbourne, a Qantas head office in Sydney, facilities in Brisbane. Let's look at consolidating. Let's look at saving some money. And that's what we're talking to the states about. And Simon recognised that. And he said it's fair enough for Qantas to do that. And I had a productive conversation with him. And I think he's qualified and corrected his comments since then.
Alan Joyce, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Qantas CEO Alan Joyce. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 13 minutes to 8.